Hi. I'd like to welcome everyone in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I've got a song that fidget here for a while, then I'll get settled in. A song that I like. And it reminds me a lot of the gospel of Jesus Christ and where I was and how I came to be where I'm at today, kind of. If I was to say 225, who could give me the song? Yeah, it's probably a favorite of a lot of people's. It's one of my favorites. Sometimes I make it through that song without getting emotional, but a lot of times I don't. I get to thinking about my walk with my walk in life, I suppose. And I get to thinking about that amazing grace. So I'm going to talk a lot about that amazing grace tonight. You know, sometimes I think I understand grace, and sometimes I think I don't understand grace. And somebody's beeping. There we go. Thank you. And I look at this song and the first words out of it is, "Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." And I guess that's where I lose it at a lot of times, is because I know what kind of a wretch I am at times. And I know what kind of a wretch I used to be. And I know that in and through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I have a changed life. I don't always walk the walk that I would like to walk. I'm like a lot of us. There are times that we tend to fall. And it is amazing grace that did save a wretch like me. And saved a wretch like each and every one of you. Not that I'm calling you wretches, but that's the wording in the song. And I think I once was lost, but now I'm found. I know I was lost at one time. And if you think about your own lives, you can probably say there was probably a time in your life when you probably thought maybe you were lost also. I don't know. You know, I don't know each and every one of your histories. I know mine. I wished I could go back and rewrite some of it, but I can't. The pages are wrote down. However, some of them are wiped clean through baptism by a remission of sins. And when I was doing the study that I did for this sermon, you know, I found out that that is amazing grace. That our sins are wiped away at baptism. And that we do also have repentance after we've been baptized to get that slate clean. Was blind, but now I see. I was blind. And before we come to the knowledge that Jesus is Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, that paid our price for redemption, that bought us back, I think we're blind until we know that fact. But now I see. My eyes were opened because of Jesus Christ. And I think each and every one of your eyes have been opened also because of Jesus Christ. Because of that amazing grace. And I think of amazing grace and I didn't want to go look it up to see what it was. I thought, what is that to me? And I think of this song, and that amazing grace is that love that God has for me. That even when I didn't know Him, He still loved me. And that He sent His only Son to show me a life to live, the right life to live. And that He went up on the cross for me as an individual, and He paid the price that I couldn't pay. And He was resurrected, and my hope stands there in that resurrection. Romans, the third chapter. I'll get back to this song. Romans, the third chapter, and I know I start and I finish in a thought here, but starting at verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ." And I thought about that, and we all have sinned. If we see, the Scriptures say that if we say we haven't sinned, we're liars. It says, "For all have sinned, and we have come short of the glory of God." It says in 24, "By His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ." That redemption was the buying back that Jesus did on the cross for us. He gave that sacrifice, that unblemished lamb, the sacrifice that we were unworthy to give. But He did it for each and every one of us, if we would just accept who Jesus is. Accept God's Son. "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus, that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." And then I got a verse, Ephesians 1:7. "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." We were bought back through His blood and we were given forgiveness. The forgiveness of our sins. To me, that's amazing grace. That I could be forgiven for all the nastiness I ever did in my life through Jesus' blood. That's truly amazing. Let's go to the second chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians 2, I'll read the first 10 verses. In my Bible, it's got a few of the verses are entitled "The Natural State" and a few of the verses are entitled "The State of Grace." I thought it was a very good comparison when I ran across it. "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might shew in the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." I truly believe that we are saved by grace. And I truly believe that there's nothing that we can do to work our way into heaven. But we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The works will come because of the love that we have for Jesus Christ, His Son. And I feel like the works need to be there. It's kind of, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about when James talks about faith and works. You know, you show me your, I'll show you my faith by my works. Well, I think we show that we understand God's amazing grace when the works come out of us because of the love that we have for Jesus. Not because we do it to be seen of men or to do it for any vain glory. But we do it because we love our neighbors. We do it because of the first two commandments, or the great commandments. You know, to love God with all your might, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's why we do the works that we do. And then I went and looked at the 15th chapter of Acts, another reference that I had. And it's just it talks about circumcision here. That some of the Pharisees thought that the Gentiles needed to be circumcised when they were converted. When I read it, I think that we are truly saved by grace. It's not by our works. Yeah, we're going to be judged by what we do in this life. There's no doubt there. Acts 15. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem and to the apostles and elders about this question. You know, to me, it's kind of like the debates we have going on as far as saved by grace, and the other one, saved by grace after all that you can do. And those scriptures, that scripture will come out later. You know, some say that, well, if you're doing the works, you're trying to work your way into heaven. Well, there are works that we have to do. You know, once you come to the realization that Jesus is the Son of God, to me, it's just out of your own heart that you would get baptized into Christ Jesus. I mean, if you did it just to do it, well, that to me would be a work. And we're not going to be saved that way. But if you do it with a pure heart, with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and go into the waters of baptism the right way, that's a first step, and it's a good step. But you have to believe that Jesus is Jesus. And where am I? And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God hath done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they." What he was saying there to me is circumcision doesn't make a difference except the circumcision of your heart. And that if you believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I believe that you will be saved. Part of that believing is doing the things and the commandments that God says to do. And it is a commandment to repent and to be baptized. Amazing grace. The plan of redemption and the plan of salvation and the atonement to me is truly amazing grace. It shows me in a way maybe that I can comprehend the love that God has for us. Because before we were born, there was a plan in motion for us to get back into the presence of God. The plan of salvation, that we would be saved. We would be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. A true hardcore belief in Jesus Christ. A belief that is so strong that we would go out and we would do the things that He wants us to do. That we would do those works that would be pleasing in His eyes because of the love that He has for us. To me, that's truly amazing grace. Page 82 in the Book of Mormon. The second Nephi, first chapter, verse 66. "And the way is prepared from the fall of man, and salvation is free, and men are instructed sufficiently that they know good from evil." Is there any of us sitting out there, except I don't see any little babies at the moment, that really doesn't know good from evil? "And the law is given unto men, and by the law no flesh is justified, or by the law men are cut off. Yea, by the temporal law they were cut off, and also by the spiritual law they perished from that which is good, and became miserable forever. Wherefore redemption cometh in and through the Holy Messiah, for He is full of grace and truth. Behold, He offereth Himself a sacrifice for sin, to answer the ends of the law, unto all those which have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and to none else can the ends of the law be answered. Wherefore, how great the importance to make these things known unto the inhabitants of the earth, that they may know that there is no flesh that can dwell in the presence of God, save it be through the merits and mercy and grace of the Holy Messiah." You know, I think of no flesh can dwell in the presence of God, and I think of the wording that saved a wretch like me. You know, that amazing grace of God giving up His only begotten Son. That did save a wretch like me. "Which layeth down His life according to the flesh, and taketh it again by the power of the Spirit, that He may bring to pass the resurrection of the dead, being the first that should rise. Wherefore, He is the first fruits unto God, inasmuch as He shall make intercession for all the children of men, and they that believe in Him shall be saved." Page 584 would be the Book of Helaman, fourth chapter, 53rd verse. You know, I tried shortening this reading up, and I kept just looking at the things that are compared there that God can do and I can't do except it be through faith. And it reminds me of where I stand. Not where I stand right here, but where I stand in my life. That God is God and I am not. And it is truly amazing grace to me that He still takes care of me. Even in the idiotic acts that I do in life, He still truly loves me enough to point them out to me. If He didn't care for me, it'd be kind of like, that's just Mark. But no, He wants to make me better, and He wants to make each and every one of you better too. He wants to bring us up to a higher ground. Verse 53. Oh, how foolish and vain and how evil and devilish and how quick to do iniquity and how slow to do good are the children of men. Yea, how quick to hearken unto the words of the evil one and to set their hearts upon the vain things of the world. Yea, how quick to be lifted up in pride. Yea, how quick to boast and to do all manner of that which is iniquity. And how slow are they to remember the Lord their God and to give ear unto His counsels. Yea, how slow to walk in wisdom's paths. Behold, they do not desire that the Lord their God who hath created them should rule and reign over them. Notwithstanding His great goodness and His mercy towards them, they do set at naught His counsels. And they will not that He should be their guide. And how great is the nothingness of the children of men, yea, even they are less than the dust of the earth. For behold, the dust of the earth moveth hither and thither to the dividing asunder at the command of our great and everlasting God. Yea, behold, at His voice doth the hills and the mountains tremble and shake. And by the power of His voice they are broken up and become smooth, yea, even like unto a valley. And by the power of His voice doth the whole earth shake, even by the power of His voice doth the fountains, the foundations rock, even to the very center. Yea, and if He saith unto the earth, move, it is moved. Yea, and if He say unto the earth, thou shalt go back, that it lengtheth out the day for many hours, it is done. And thus, according to His word, the earth goeth back, and it appeareth unto man that the sun standeth still. Yea, and behold, this is so, for sure it is the earth that moveth, and not the sun. And behold also, if He saith unto the waters of the great deep, be thou dried up, it is done. Behold, if He saith unto this mountain, be thou raised up, and come over, and fall upon that city, that it be buried up, behold, it is done. And behold, if a man hideth up a treasure in the earth, and the Lord shall say, let it be accursed, because of the iniquity of him that hath hid it up, behold, it shall be accursed. And if the Lord shall say, be thou cursed, that no man shall find thee from this time henceforth and forever, behold, no man getteth it henceforth and forever. Behold, if the Lord shall say unto a man, because of thine iniquities thou shalt be accursed forever, it shall be done. And if the Lord shall say, because of thine iniquities, thou shalt be cut off from my presence, he will cause that it shall be so. And woe unto whom he shall say this, for it shall be unto him that will do iniquity, and he cannot be saved. Therefore, for this cause, that men might be saved, hath repentance been declared. That's truly amazing grace to me. Is even after that we've been cleansed and had a remission of our sins, and then we go about our daily lives and we mess up, we still have repentance. And we can still go to that great God and ask for His forgiveness. Therefore blessed are they who will repent and hearken unto the voice of the Lord their God, for these are they that shall be saved, and may And may God grant in His great fullness that men might be brought into repentance and good works, that they might be restored unto grace, for grace according to their works. And I would that all men might be saved, but we read that in that great and last day there are some which shall be cast out, yea, which shall be cast off from the presence of the Lord, yea, which shall be consigned to a state of endless misery, fulfilling the words which saith, they that have done good shall have everlasting life, and they that have done evil shall have everlasting damnation. And thus it is. Amen. That list that I read back on page 585 mostly, can any of us do that? Can we speak and the earth would shake? God has the power and authority to do all those things. God has the power and authority to consign us to an endless misery and to a damnation of our souls. And He also has the power and authority to give us everlasting life. And we make the choice by our lives, by the way we live our lives. He said it, and thus it is. To me, all those things are truly amazing grace. I flip back to 2 Nephi, the 7th chapter on page 115. Second book of Nephi, 7th chapter, verse 40. Therefore, cheer up your hearts and remember that you are free to act for yourselves, to choose the way of everlasting death or the way of eternal life. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, reconcile yourselves to the will of God and not to the will of the devil in the flesh. And remember that after you are reconciled unto God, that it is only in and through the grace of God that ye are saved. Wherefore, may God raise you from death by the power of the resurrection, and also from everlasting death by the power of the atonement, that ye may be received into the eternal kingdom of God, that ye may praise Him through grace divine. Amen. You know, I've heard some people define grace as divine mercy. I'll agree with that, because it is His mercy. On page 143, still in the second book of Nephi, the 11th chapter, I've got one verse, verse 44. And I think this one verse sums it up all quite well for me. It's on page 143. For we know that it is by grace that we are saved, after all that we can do. It just doesn't stop and save that by grace that we are saved. And it is after all we can do. All the good things that we can do in life won't buy our way into heaven. Jesus bought our way into heaven. And that to me is amazing grace. Two more verses, page 777, the 10th chapter of Moroni. Verse 29, starting at verse 29, might as well read the rest of the chapter. This is Moroni, as it says, Moroni's last exhortation. These are the last things that he writes down before he knows that he'll be going down to his grave. Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if you shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness and love God with all your mind, might, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace you may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God you are perfect in Christ, you can in no wise deny the power of God. And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ, and deny not his power, then are you sanctified in Christ by the grace of God, through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is the covenant of the Father unto the remission of your sins, that you become holy without spot. And now I bid unto you all farewell. I soon go to rest in the paradise of God until my spirit and body shall again reunite, and I am brought forth triumphant through the air to meet you before the pleasing bar of the great Jehovah, the eternal judge of both the quick and the dead. Amen. And so the song goes. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Do you remember the hour that you just struck you that you understand or you understood salvation? I stumble over my words, don't I? You know, grace did teach my heart to fear, because when I came to that realization of my nothingness and that there was a heaven and a hell, I had fear. But with grace, my fears were relieved, because I understood then the love that God had for me through His Son, Jesus Christ. And how precious did it appear the hour I first believed. Now I can still remember almost the hour I first believed. I was in my early 30s, so it wasn't that long ago. Probably 14 or 15 years. Through many dangerous toils and snares, I can remember going through things before I even believed God saved my life more than once. And they're testimonies that truly astound me to this day when I think back that, why did He save me? You know, I had electricity go through my right arm and out my right heel when I was working for the phone company, being young and wanting to get things done quick and not following the safety rules. They had the power crossed up with the phone lines once, and I went to a house and didn't really take too much attention that the power guy was walking around with his stick out that he pulls the fuses out with or pushes them back in with to make the lines hot. When you're in your early 20s, man, I'm telling you, you're invincible. You know, all you want to do is go after it, get the job done, and get on to the next thing to do that day. I opened up the little protector that's on the side of your house where the phone line comes up. Opened it up, and it was somewhat of a moist day. And I didn't wear rubber-soled boots. I wore regular, what the workman's boots, you might call them, and they had nails that went through them to hold the heels and stuff in. And I'm right-handed. It's probably a good thing. If I was left-handed, I might be dead, because your heart's right in this area. Pulled out my needle nose and popped that thing open. Reached to unhook a wire. Pow! I blew the breaker out on the pole. I felt the power come out the heel of my right foot. Do you think I thought anything about it? I'm a thick-headed person. I went on about my business. I fixed the phone line. Of course, by then, the power wasn't across the phone line because I'd blown the breaker. Went on about my business, fixed the phone line, went back to what they call the test board where they do the testing of the lines at, and that's where, at that time, that's all, where all the dispatching happened at. They said, "What are you doing?" I said, "What do you mean?" They said, "The power company called here, and you better get your rear end back over there right now. I don't know what you did, but you better get back over there." So, okay, I went over there. They had supervisors in ties. They made me take my boots off. They wanted to make sure that my feet weren't burnt. And that's when it started sinking in. Very well could have been dead. This is amazing grace. I guess he knew what I was going to become, I hope. Because at that time I didn't. Didn't have anything to do with Jesus. Jesus was something I wanted to stay away from at that time. I didn't want anybody to talk to me about Jesus. And another instance, I won't give it to you, but I could have been squished by dualies on one of these real big tow trucks that pulls big trucks out. That was truly amazing that that didn't happen. Dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far. And grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amen.
Thank you, Mark. Some announcements. Says we're organized. Come and join us for the second meeting of the Generation Found, the Christian fellowship group for people in their college years, 20s and 30s. We're meeting next at the Midland, the adjoining homes of Daniel and Kate Malone and Aubrey Case, 6:30 p.m. on Friday, October 15th for volleyball, pizza, and good fellowship. We hope to see you there. I'll put this on the bulletin board. There's even a map. I know that Thanksgiving isn't even here yet, but think Christmas. The first Christmas cantata practice was today. The Christmas program will be December the 19th. That's the week before Christmas. And it will be a combination of the East Local and Temple Lot here. The junior senior choirs, the East Local Choir, and the Cantata Choir will all perform. The sermon will be by Ricky Olson, the East Local Pastor. And we're looking forward to a good celebration, Christmas celebration on that day. Study class Monday, prayer service Wednesday, Friday junior senior choir at the Lawrence home. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the YPCL will meet at Randy Sheldon's home at 8 a.m., stay at Marlene Cobb's cabin near Preston, Missouri, and then attend the Collins Rally. Also, there's a notice of a baby girl shower for Nathaniel and Gina Seibel, October the 18th, at the East Local Annex, 7 p.m., and she is registered, Babies R Us. You all have your bulletin. You can take that with you as a reminder. Also, a reminder that's not here, we sent an email this afternoon to all of the members of the Potluck Dinner Committee next weekend, in addition to being the Collins Rally, is also our potluck here. So if you are on that committee and aren't going to be able to be here because you're going to be at Collins at the rally, be sure and pick a substitute to be here to represent you in your absence. We will close tonight with hymn number 237, after which I'll ask Norman if he will dismiss us in prayer. 237.